properly.
As opposed to improperly.
As opposed to whatever it is you're doing now.
In this transactional arrangement, my semi-detached wife and long-term landlady, Frances, was attempting to get my dance mojo working for a wartime musical called Winnie.
Keep up!
Based on the life of Churchill.
On the beat!
Not the poo. Winnie was a star vehicle for Chris Watt, a stand-up turned actor.
Hold me, Charles.
I am holding you.
Like I'm a sack of potatoes.
I'm concentrating.
Try to relax.
My prime dancing days were late 20th century, when holding a woman was what you did after the music stopped. Also, it was kind of hard to boogie to 13 long minutes of Pink Floyd's Alan's Psychedelic Breakfast.
Go with the rhythm.
In return for these dance lessons,
let it wash over you.
I'd rashly agreed to partner Frances in a Strictly style competition at her dance class.
Head up.
It is up.
Back straight.
I'm not Quasimodo.
Loosen up.
I'm getting very conflicting notes here. How am I supposed to keep my head up, back straight, and loosen up? You're asking me to be formal and relaxed at the same time. It's an oxymoron.
There's only one moron here.
Mine was a small role, and Nina, the director of Winnie, assured me that as First Viscount Allenbrook, I wouldn't have to bop till I dropped.
This was supposed to be a warm-up.
Nevertheless, the star, Chris Watt, kept adding musical numbers and had advised me to learn to jive. Whatever a jive was.
What's wrong with your legs?
I'm not a centipede. I can only coordinate one set of limbs at a time.
Okay, change of tempo.
Oh, can I have a drink?
Not the kind of drink you want.
You're a Puritan and a martinet.
You'd better believe it. Up you get. Time to shake your booty.
Rehearsals for Winnie were beset with injuries. Most recently, and ironically, a flying accident involving the Minister for Aircraft Production, Stafford Cripps, or rather, Trevor Rhodes, the actor playing him.
Charles Paris, man of a thousand faces.
You did say faces.
Ha ha. Ooh.
Isn't ha ha ooh a character in Star Wars?
I wouldn't know. I'm not a 10-year-old boy.
That's debatable.
Morris, if you're ringing to bust my ass, don't bother. There's a large man called Ivan doing that right now.
Ooh, it's never too late to explore new avenues.
Eh?
To be honest, I always thought that boozy, binary, masculine image was a front.
I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, for one moment I hoped you were a tad less vanilla than I thought. Clearly not.
I'm in a Schwitz bath.
Is this Charles Paris I'm talking to, or the reincarnation of my great-uncle Chaim?
Did you have a great-uncle Chaim?
Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else's great-uncle Chaim.
Ow! Man, this is one fat... Oh, fantastic pummeling. You should come down here.
Down where, exactly?
Leytonstone.
No, thanks. I never travel further east than the barbecue.
You don't know what you're... Oh, missing.
My office is in Soho. If I want to be recreationally slapped, I'm a hop and a skip from any number of large and willing men.
This place was recommended to counter the strains of dance rehearsals.
And carry on slapping, because Trevor Rhodes won't be rejoining the cast of Winnie.
Oh, no.
Good, sincere acting.
Not acting, just sincere. I thought Trevor might just have pulled a muscle.
He's broken his femur.
Poor guy.
Okay, sympathy done. You can let naked ambition out of the trap.
Don't impose your venality on other people.
Congratulations, Charles. Trevor's out, and you're the new Stafford Cripps.
Yes!
Oh, so much for the brotherhood of actors.
I feel awful for Trevor. Is the money better?
Mercenary.
Takes one to know one.
It's still a small part, but I'll see what I can do. I suppose if you're not too busy, you'll be sniffing around backstage as usual.
Around what?
An actor only has to stub a toe for you to start playing detective.
You hate me playing detective.
Yes, I do. You were in the rehearsal room when Trevor fell, weren't you?
Yes.
And
what?
What happened?
Is Trevor one of your clients?
No.
Then why all the interest?
I'm a caring sort of guy. So what happened?
Just one of those things. The rig was giving stage management a lot of aggro. Churchill was flying down, followed by Clement Attlee and Stafford Cripps.
That's it! Looking good! You all right, Trevor?
Get him down!
Oh, somebody help him! Oh, my God!
Trevor! You all right, mate?
Next thing,
Trevor's sprawled on the floor.
I hear that's not the first accident.
Apparently not.
I only got you the gig in the first place when somebody else was knocked over by a delivery moped.
I like to think talent had something to do with me getting the part.
And didn't a rehearsal pianist get caught up in a drive-by shooting?
Strange and violent times.
Three accidents all involving company members of one show. I thought you'd be all over this.
I've been a bit busy.
That never stops you poking your nose in.
Francis is teaching me to jive.
I give up.
What?
Nothing, Charles. Enjoy your slapping.
Mm. Ow! Ah, that's ow in a good way.
Even though it wasn't my fault, I felt a bit guilty that I'd stepped into Trevor's role as Stafford Cripps. So I decided to pay him a visit in hospital.
Mmm, mm. Juicy grapes.
I nearly bought you a bottle of fermented ones.
Oh, that would have been even lovelier.
You can blame Francis.
Who's he?
He's a she.
Oh, sorry. You have to be so careful these days.
No, Francis has always been a she. She's my semi-detached wife.
You're married?
Well, I'm not divorced. Long story. Anyway, Francis tells me you can no longer give alcohol to people in hospital.
Oh, who knew?
Nanny state.
I blame the bowler-hatted brigade in Brussels.
Or Brexit.
Oh, let's not go there.
So, how are you doing?
You know, all things considered, I'd rather be in Philadelphia.
Sure.
Do I take it they've bumped you up the cast?
They have, and I feel awful about it.
Oh, no need.
But I'm benefiting from your misfortune.
Somebody has to.
It feels like I'm dancing on your grave, and if you'd seen me dance, you wouldn't want that.
I'm not dead, Charles. It's just a broken leg. It's kind of you to visit, and the grapes are lovely, but there's really no need to apologise. Accidents happen.
I suppose so.
Unfortunately, this one had my name on it.
And it was just an accident.
What else?
No, it's stupid.
Go on.
Something my agent said.
He thinks you tried to kill me to get the part of Stafford Cripps.
No.
Cripps may have played a big role during the war, but he's fairly minor in the show.
Damn, there goes the Olivier.
Winston, on the other hand. If someone had tried to kill Chris Watt, no one would be surprised.
Is he that bad?
You've seen him in action.
No, not really, not much. He barged into my singing audition and threw his weight around a bit, but since your accident, we haven't done a lot together.
Oh, then you've got a treat in store.
That bad?
Well, put it this way. I wouldn't wish a broken leg on anyone. On the other hand, I'm slightly relieved to be excused rehearsals with Chris Watt. The trouble is you've got two massive egos butting up against each other.
I assume the other one's Mark.
How did you guess?
I've witnessed him big-timing himself.
Mark Spelthorne's one of those actors who believes his own publicity. No, the real trouble is when Mark and Chris lock horns like a couple of rutting stags.
There can only ever be one alpha male.
And I wasn't a threat to either of them, so if you're looking around for a motive to injure me, I can't think of one.
No, me neither. The only odd thing is how many accidents there have been since Winnie started rehearsing.
Well, yes, that is true. It has had more than its fair share. And it's nice that your agent's looking out for you.
What, Morris?
My agent wouldn't worry about me. I'm lying here with a broken leg. She hasn't even sent me a get-well card. When I get out of here, I think it's time for a change. What's Morris like?
As a human being?
As an agent.
Next morning was my first chance to see Chris Watt in action. I got to the rehearsal rooms early enough for first dibs on the green room coffee.
Good grief, Charles. Have you heard about the national obesity crisis? The human body can't metabolise that much sugar.
Kay Walbrook and I went back a long way, and I knew from experience that there was little about the human body she didn't know. Ask anyone who was with her in the revival of O Calcutta at Felixstowe Rep.
If I'd realised we'd be together again so soon, I'd have held back a few of my juicier anecdotes for matinee days.
Kay and I had recently found ourselves filming a TV commercial for funeral insurers walktowardthelight.org.
You didn't say you were going to be in Winnie.
Well, I got a part late after an actor had an accident. Then Trevor broke his leg and I got bumped up, so this is my first day with the full cast.
Awful, isn't it?
Well, like I say, I've only just started.
Not the show, idiot. All these accidents.
Oh, it is a bit worrying.
We're all walking around wondering who's next.
Who are you playing?
Clementine.
Churchill's wife.
All right, Charles, I know I'm older than Chris Watt.
No, I didn't mean you look
old. Too
late,
you said it.
You look great, Kay.
For my age.
Please, I didn't mean you were too old.
Such fun watching you
cringe. Well, stop it.
Bit of slap, good wig, I can pass for Chris's wife.
You look good without the slap.
All right, steady on.
I mean it as a compliment.
Yes.
Not in a creepy way.
Yes, I know, calm down. I'm not going to hit you with a Me Too lawsuit. Everyone knows you're an old school charmer.
Not that old.
speaking of age, don't you think Chris Watt's wearing some city years?
How old is he?
Younger than he looks. Let that be a warning.
About?
The demon drink.
I don't drink
really?
Much.
You say so.
I take it Chris does drink.
Did. When he was part of a low-rent teenage brat pack, he did everything big time.
I knew he'd been a child actor.
Till micro-success went to his head, and he ran the My Drink and Drugs Hell playbook. Then a girlfriend died of an overdose, and Chris ended up a crash-and-burn mess, still in his 20s.
I had no idea.
Now he's clean as a whistle and can basically write his own ticket.
I like a nice redemption story.
Oh, so do journos and PR people.
Are you saying it's all made up?
Oh, no, but Chris has certainly spun the story to his advantage. How I battled my demons and won.
Still, I'm rather warming to him.
Reserve judgment till you get to know him. And you, Charles, have you cleaned up your act?
You were never exactly goody two-shoes, as I recall.
I'm still not, as you'll find out if you play your cards right.
I don't play cards.
Other games are available.
Well,
anytime you're in the mood to stray, I keep a bottle of artisanal gin in my dressing room.
I'll bear it in mind.
It contains some very exotic botanicals.
Really?
Morning, well, all. If everyone can move into the rehearsal room.
Yep. After the Tennessee Williams heat of the green room, the drafty chill of the rehearsal room came as a welcome relief.
Okay, everyone. Thank you. When Chris gets here, we're going to have a stumble through Winston's destiny number.
Is he running very late?
No, I don't think... Have we heard anything, Jed?
I'll check my phone.
I hate to be a pain, but...
You need to go early.
Yeah, I mean, not crazy early, but I need to get away at sharpish.
Yes, I know. I spoke to your agent.
Sorry, everyone. Absolute pain, but you know what they're like.
Who do you think they are?
We're about to find out.
They fly in from LA and expect the whole world to stop.
Now we know they are Hollywood.
Oh, look at Mark's face. If someone doesn't ask him what is being seen for, he's literally going to burst.
Shall we put him out of his misery?
You or me?
Well, what's the job, Mark?
Huh? Oh, nothing.
Right.
I mean, it'll probably come to nothing.
Sure.
I'm not really supposed to say anything.
Well, you better not.
It's a new HBO miniseries.
Oh. Morning, Evie. Sorry I'm late. I had a puncture at Elephanton Castle.
Much lauded, garlanded with praise and awards, Evie Robbs was the writer behind Militant, the Derek Hatton musical, which had been a timely, if surprise, hit a year earlier.
The bus driver wouldn't let me on with the bike, so I had to push it all the way here.
She was painfully shy, and not at all what I expected from someone in musical theatre.
Don't worry, Evie. Chris isn't here yet.
No messages so far, Nina.
Right.
Morning, all.
Hi, Chris. I was just saying we're going
to... Yeah, I've been up all night. I've got some pages for everyone.
Pages?
Sorry, what pages?
Rewrites.
Rewrites on my script?
Well, something was bothering me after the gig last night.
You did a gig?
I wanted to try out some new material.
You did a stand-up gig last night?
Yes, Nina.
After rehearsals?
Not straight after. My wife and I went out to dinner first, which is when we got talking about what's wrong with the show.
I don't think there's anything very wrong.
Then I went on to a club.
A comedy club?
Well, you don't try out new material at the Ministry of Sound, although they have asked me to DJ. Anyway, when I finally got to bed, I lay awake till 3 trying to work out what we should do. Then I got up and wrote through till 6.
It's my script.
The thing is, Chris, I've got a rehearsal schedule.
Yeah, I know.
And we do sort of need to stick to...
My script.
Yeah, I know.
Obviously, it's a collaborative process.
There you go.
Up to a point.
Evie and I are both open to ideas and input from everyone.
There you go.
But the clock's ticking and we can't keep adding new material.
A show's like a ship, yeah?
Huh?
This is the HMS Winnie, and we're all in it together.
Sure.
Good, we agree. But there's no said spoiling ship for a hape of the tar, as my gran used to say.
Well, no.
And much as I love Titanic, I, for one, don't intend to go down with a sinking ship.
But the ship isn't sinking.
Well, that's a matter of opinion, Evie. And as captain of this particular ship...
If we can drop the nautical analogy for a minute, there has to be a cut-off point for adding completely new material. We're already up against the clock, and every major change affects the entire crew. Now I'm doing the ship thing.
Nina's right.
Oh, here we go. Who asked Captain Pugwash?
Oh, no.
Come on, Chris. Fair's fair. Let's get the show watertight first.
Fancy a game of metaphor bingo.
Okay, the more we fanny about, the less time we've got, so let's get on with it and have a look at the new pages.
Speaking as the writer...
Personally, I don't mind working late if it means getting it right.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid I can't work late.
And again.
No, I'm sorry, Chris, but Nina knows I've got to meet some people who've flown in from LA.
Are these people paying you?
Well, no, obviously, it's a
meeting. So you're not under contract to them?
Well, no, not actually.
But you are under contract to Winnie, like the rest of us. So frankly, how can I say this politely, who gives a toss about your friends from LA?
Don't you tell me what to do.
Or what?
You want a piece of me, Chris?
Oh, don't make me laugh.
I'll step outside and we'll see who's laughing.
Okay, okay, let's calm down and have a look at the new pages.
Everyone buckled down, and by the end of the day, we'd incorporated Chris's material, which, annoyingly, was a marked improvement on Evie's script. Chris Watts' mass appeal was a mystery to me till we left together and I saw him in action with his fans.
What, you want another selfie?
Yeah.
Oh, go on then, give me your phone. No, I'll do it. Whoa, is this a 10?
Yeah.
That's very nice. You've done a bank job. Actually, you take the pic. I'll only nick the phone. I will, you know. I bloody will. I can't be trusted, me. All right, that's your lot. Night-night, all.
Night, Chris.
That was nice of you.
Ah, oh, so were they. Bottom line, they pay my wages. I never understand performers who get famous, then moan about it.
Well, it must get a bit much sometimes.
Well, only if they're rude or inappropriate. I won't have people muscling on family life. Tamsin and the kids didn't sign up for this, but I did, so I'm fair game. Speaking of rude and inappropriate, that's what you think I was with Mark.
Well, I wouldn't say...
Don't kid a killer, Charles. I'm a good reader of people. I saw you cringing. Let me tell you, Mark had it coming.
I'm the new kid on the block. I don't know what's been going on between you two.
Well, it's very simple. Mark's a fairly well-known character actor who thinks I'm a know-nothing comic got lucky, and it eats him up that I've landed a lead role in a West End musical, so he's constantly trying to prove to me that he's the real deal. I'm a turn, he's an actor. Well, I was an actor when he was still at his snotty prep school.
You were a child actor?
Yeah, till everything went a bit. Anyway, that's all in the past. Now I can write my own ticket, and if Mark Spelthorne doesn't like it, tough. Taxi! Yeah, I'll see you, Charles.
Yeah.
Still feeling warmly disposed towards our star?
Well, I can see how he and Mark rub each other up the wrong way.
Oh, Mark's a vain twerp, but he didn't deserve to be humiliated in front of everyone. Now, I could do with a drink. Any takers?
Do you mind if I don't? I'm absolutely bushed.
Turning down a free drink? You really have cleaned up your act. Night, Charles. Whiskey, beer and
wine. It wasn't that I didn't fancy a drink. I just fancied a quiet drink alone with my thoughts.
There you go, Charles. Two pairs of double scotches and a selection of heritage nuts.
Apart from the 200% price hike, what makes these nuts heritage nuts?
Change of management and the new boss has got a beard.
Got it.
Contactless?
I have been for years.
Tap when you're ready.
I secured myself a newly unrefurbished corner table. I say table. In his wisdom, the bearded boss had stripped out all the old fixtures and fittings so that drum and monkey clients, yes, we were now clients, could sit on bike saddles at an assortment of car bonnets, oil drums and other discarded detritus he'd upcycled from a reclamation yard. Then again, in a constantly changing world, some things never change.
Rip Van Winkle.
Well, if you will, squeeze into those jeans.
Do you ever feel like you've woken up from a long sleep to discover the lunatics have taken over the asylum?
It's called ageing.
I'm not ageing. I'm maturing like a fine wine.
Or a crusty old cheddar.
There's nothing cheesy about me.
My advice is, in a world gone mad, keep in step with the lunatics to avoid disappointment.
Wise thought.
I'll send you an invoice.
If only that was a joke.
So, I thought you'd like to know. Your fee has been adjusted according to your new elevated status.
Huzzah! I might be able to afford another hubcap of heritage nuts.
How was today's rehearsal? Any accidents, injuries, fatalities?
Very nearly a punch-up.
Oh, not fisticuffs.
What are you, Victorian?
This fight was between whom and whom?
I'm not sure that's right, Morris.
I don't pay you to check my grammar.
You don't pay me at all.
No. I mean, just tell me.
Mark Spelthorne looked like he was going to go for Chris Watt.
Why? What sparked it?
Professional rivalry, alpha male chest-beating, arrogance.
How bad was it?
Nina managed to calm things down.
Oh, she's a very capable director.
I imagine she would be if Chris didn't ride roughshod over her every suggestion.
Well, we can't let that go on.
We?
You, the cast, the company.
Well, there's not a lot we can do. Chris thinks he's captain of the ship and Nina's been relegated to first mate.
Anything I can do to help?
Like what? You're my agent.
Yes, but no. Yes, you're right.
What's going on, Morris?
Nothing's going on.
You're being uncharacteristically solicitous.
Rubbish.
You're never normally this attentive.
I know how important this job is to you and I want it to go well.
Yeah.
Not yet, Charles. I'm your man. I got your back.
Okay, Morris, if you say so.
Just let me know if there's anything I can do.
I will.
Let me know if there are any more accidents.
You'll be the first person I call from A&E.
Don't even joke about it.
Night, Morris. I made a few mistakes, I regret it nightly. I broke a couple hearts and I wear on my sleeve. My mama always shakes. Step to the right, step to the left, swing.
I think I've shaken it right off.
Don't stop.
Please, Francis. Please.
How are we going to be ready if you keep stopping to catch your breath?
Give me a break, please. I beg of you. On bended knees. Not just bent, Francis. Bended. Would you like me to get down on one of those knees?
Depends what you're planning to do when you're down there.
Anything you like, providing I can do it sitting down.
Haven't you heard? Sitting is killing people. I'm saving your life.
With a few dance moves.
I put a lot into this, and Jesus has put a lot into me.
Do you want one from the white book or the blue book?
I just don't want to disappoint Jesus.
The elusive and mysterious ballroom gigolo.
He's not a gigolo, whatever a gigolo is in the 21st century. Nor is he elusive, nor mysterious. We've got a deal, Charles. You partner me, I get you match fit for the show.
If Chris Watt doesn't watch it, there won't be a show.
Don't tell me the stand-up can't act.
Oh, he can act, damn him. But he also fancies himself as a writer.
All actors fancy themselves as writers.
Well, this one comes in each day with new material for the show, and you know what's so infuriating?
It's good?
Worse. It's good, and somehow it always puts Chris centre stage, even in scenes he wasn't previously in.
What about the actual writer? Doesn't she object?
Yeah, but she's so quiet that he ignores her. Fortunately, I've only got one verse in the song, so with a bit of luck, I'll slip under Chris's radar.
Sounds like a plan. Got your breath back yet?
Winnie was a show with a lot of set changes and a lot of moving parts, which are spectacular for the audience, but a massive headache for stage management.
Bit of hush, please. Oh, right. Everyone listen up.
On this production, the headache belonged to Jed, the stage manager.
We need to strike the Cabinet War Room at exactly the moment Winston and Clemmy walk into the Rose Garden. Got it?
In my youth, I worked stage crew, so I know how difficult it can be to execute a director's vision.
Destiny's a key song, so no room for mistakes, OK? And grab some tea and we'll have a stagger through.
When I'm not on stage, I love to watch the unsung professionals at work.
What are you doing lurking in the shadows?
Well, I was just watching the crew and trying to remember my rope technique. Hand over hand, figure of eight, hand over hand, figure of eight.
You were stage crew?
In olden times, I did a bit of everything back then. Stage crew, assistant stage manager. I did a brief stint as a dresser at the Royal Ballet till I discovered I was jockstrap intolerant.
Ah, we travelled in opposite directions.
You liked jockstrap.
I was an actor. Well, child actor. All curly hair and angelic looks. You're thinking, what happened?
No!
It's exactly what I was thinking as I tried to look past the bald head, dewlap jowls and heavy frame to see the little angel beneath the skin.
Can you strike Winston's desk, Danny?
Sorry, Charles. Better get on.
You know where I am if you need a reef knot or a half hitch.
I'll bear it in mind.
Okay.
Grab yourself some tea.
I wasn't in a tea frame of mind. Instead, I nipped out the back door to lubricate the larynx.
You do know those will kill you?
Well, something's got to.
You don't suppose I could bum one?
Help yourself.
I hadn't spoken to Mark since his flare-up with Chris, but the incident hung in the air like stale cigarette smoke, and I wasn't going to mention it.
Well, now you've seen Chris in all his gloriously garish colours.
Yeah.
But that's what you get when you cast a turn instead of an actor.
I admit, I was a bit dubious when I heard they'd cast a stand-up to play Churchill, but credit where credit's due, he's a lot better than I expected.
Just completely selfish.
Well,
there's a whole company in there, all pulling together, but it's all about him. You want to hear the latest?
Go on.
My nice little soft shoe shuffle with Stalin and Neville Chamberlain.
Yeah, that's very funny.
Well, it's now a very funny scene between Churchill, Stalin and Chamberlain.
What?
Chris had another of his big ideas, took Nina aside and persuaded her that the scene would work better and be even funnier if he were to play it as Churchill.
And she agreed.
What do you think? It's like dealing with a big narcissistic baby who has ultimate power and always has to get his own way.
Why does that sound familiar?
Come on. We'd better go back and see what else has changed in the last 5 minutes.
For all his faults, I felt for poor Mark, and for once offered up a small prayer of gratitude that apart from a four-line solo in the song Destiny, my role was too small to attract Chris's attention.
The history of the English-speaking peoples on the shoulders of a siren-suited man. should the brave, wise kinsmen of this nation entrust their future to a button-bolted sham.
We have faith in our friend, we have trust in our chum. He's the man with the plan, he's flicking a bee at the Nazi scum.
Yes, the lights are going out all over Europe. The future of our world is under threat. We can't survive for long on golden syrup, and we're running up a massive national debt.
Though he drinks Napoleon brandy and he smokes a fine cigar, his diplomacy is handy. From the workers to the middle and the la-di-da, from the workers to the middle and the la-di-da, and he's speaking at me.
Sorry, guys. Nina?
Yes, Chris?
Something's just occurred to me about this number.
Could it work?
No, it's bugging me. I kind of think it's something we might want to address ASAP.
5 minutes, everyone.
What is it this time?
No idea.
This is getting way out of hand.
Charles, can I have a moment?
Don't worry, it's probably nothing.
Good luck, mate.
Mark sauntered away, shaking his head in preemptive disbelief, and by the time I got to Nina, Chris was nowhere to be seen.
Look, Charles, it's not a big thing.
Sounds ominous.
No, not really. How do you feel about not doing that verse as a solo?
What?
Your verse in Destiny.
But that's my verse.
Yes, I know.
It's my verse.
Sure.
It's my verse.
Yeah, the thing is...
That's my only bit of solo singing.
Yes, I realise that.
It's
the
only
thing
four
is,
lines.
Sure, the thing
four
is...
Four bloody lines,
I
Nina.
I can see you're upset.
You think?
If you look at it in context... The song is called Destiny, and it's about Winston's self-belief and yet his insecurities.
This isn't about Winston, is it, Nina?
Well...
It's about Chris.
Well, yes and no.
No, Nina, it's not no. It's yes, as in yes, this is all about Chris, who put you up to this because he can't stand to be on stage for 30 seconds without hogging the limelight. Well, come on, Nina, I'm right, aren't I?
Okay, yes, that's all true, but... Look, I really sympathise, Charles, but my hands are tied. In an ideal world...
Look out!
What? I followed Nina's gaze in time to see the set falling as if in slow motion. Chris emerged from a cloud of dust.
Are you okay?
Oh, missed me by inches.
Is everyone else okay?
Shh!
Who's that?
Mark!
What?
I think he's under there.
The curse of Winnie had struck again, and I started to wonder if Morris was right.
Somebody help me!
Four incidents, all involving company members of one show. That was a bit more than strange.
In episode two of Charles Paris, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Chris Watt was Nigel Lindsay, Nina Lamb, Claire Corbett, Trevor Rhodes, Michael Burtonshaw. Kay Walbrook, Carolyn Pickles, Jed, Ronnie Duty, Mark Spelthorne, Christopher Harper, Evie Robbs, Frenchie Webb, and bar staff Sarah Ovens. Music was written and performed by Neil Brand. Star Trap was written by Jeremy Front, based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Mary Peat, and the producer was Sally Avens.